dozens of rockets, missiles, or drones. I think that capability has been eroded steadily since this campaign began. And frankly, at about plus 30 days into this campaign, I think if you're at Central Command, you've got to be reasonably satisfied with where you are right now. In fact, Ed, when I was the CENTCOM commander, if you had given me this situation at plus 30 days, I would have rejected it as being too optimistic by far.
General Frank McKenzie, the former commanding officer at Central Command, talking to Face the Nations at O'Keefe yesterday about where we are. Does Iran still have the ability to threaten things in the Strait of Hormuz? The answer is yes. But are we way ahead of even where he would have, in his most optimistic dreams, thought we would be at 30 days? He says also yes.
So we've had good effect. Our effects are going to continue. It's going to be increasingly harder for them to launch missiles and rockets. We may not get to zero for a while, and I think there's still some time ahead. But everyone realizes that. But I think we're on track here. This campaign is moving very effectively, and I believe the pace will pick up every day.
So we're going to continue doing more. We are on track. What about the Strait of Hormuz, which has become obviously a major international event, the fact that it is closed and people are not getting their oil shipped, but a lot of speculation around this. I'll explain in just a second.
If the U.S. launches its own military operation in the coming days to open the strait, what's it going to take militarily to do that?
Well, let me say, first of all, we do have the ability to open the strait should we choose to do it. And what you're seeing now are what I would call the precursor of the initial steps in such a campaign. You want to reduce Iran's ability to fire short-range rockets and missiles into the strait against warships. You want to take out their fast attack craft. Think of them as cigarette boats, large, powerful, outboard-engined boats that can race out and get among ships and cause direct damage that way. What we're doing is we're going after all those vessels, and that's where A-10s, attack aircraft, attack helicopters, and other slow-moving, low-altitude platforms are so very effective. So we're in the process of removing those right now.
Yeah, we are definitely working on that. It's not an immediate and fast process to be accomplished, but as we're talking about, we're using, we're using Apaches, I assume, maybe. We're using, I don't know, some version of a Black Hawk, maybe. I don't know. I know we're definitely using the A-10. We're using a lot of different things because they're slow and they can loiter for a long time and they're very survival, particularly the A-10. I love having the A-10 being used in another war because it's an extremely valuable platform with a lot of versatility to it. So, that's great. But it takes time. It's not a quick thing. We're also sweeping mines out.
At the same time, we're working to get rid of Iran's mine stockpile. The mines are very dangerous. They had thousands when the war began. I have no doubt we significantly attrited them now. Yeah. Of course, it doesn't take many mines to cause a significant blockage to world shipping. So all of that is underway right now. And you want to reduce those to a low level before you put your warships up there to actually sort of test the waters in that strait. I have no idea what Admiral Cooper's decision-making process is going to be for that, but I think we're well on the way to achieving those goals.
You know, you look on a map as a civilian sitting in your easy chair or your... All right, your computer, and you're like, well, it looks like we've solved it. Yeah, well, it's a little more complicated than that.
Can the strait be reopened with an air and naval campaign, or are you going to need ground troops?
I think it can be opened with an air and naval campaign, and the use of ground troops would probably be along the line of raids. And remember, a raid is an attack with a planned withdrawal, where you don't plan to stay. The one exception might be Karg Island. I know the president has talked about it. I think it has a unique place in Iranian culture, because one thing, if you seize it, you're holding Iranian soil. Secondly, it is the critical node through which all their oil supplies pass. By seizing it, you have the opportunity to cut that off, inflicting grievous damage on the Iranian economy, and yet with the opportunity perhaps to return it as part of a negotiation process. Further, you don't permanently damage the global economy by destroying the infrastructure. So I think Karg Island is a very lucrative target. I'm sure we're looking at it hard right now. I have no idea if we're going to choose to go up there.
Yeah, and that would be a very limited ground-based military operation. I mean, not limited in the sense that it's not important, but limited compared to, for example, a mainland invasion of some kind. And I like that, of course, the general is giving some of these nuances about, you know, it's easy to say a phrase like boots on the ground. Well, we had boots on the ground in Iran over the weekend in a rescue mission, right? I mean, there were boots on the ground when a pilot and Wizzo, you know, were on the ground trying to get recovered by us, and then we put more boots on the ground. I mean, is that boots on the ground? Well, you know, not really. That's not what people usually mean by that. Would taking over just Karg Island be boots on the ground? Well, I mean, technically, yes. Would it be a military invasion? I mean, yes, but no. I mean, you know, and so, I don't know, sometimes we just talk about these things in not particularly clever or nuanced ways. We'll come back to this in a second because I did want to let you hear some of that from him. Also, the speculation about what exactly is going on at the Strait of Hormuz is fascinating. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. But remember that Main from Barrancas to I Street is closed today for that construction project. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
For 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
For 6 weeks. And Barrancas is down to two lanes. I mean, yay, good time. So, and then after that gets reopened, it'll still be limited and it'll still be a mess. So for a long time, pain for those of you who drive in from the west side, for sure. All right, back to the general's comments and what it means and how to understand the Strait of Hormuz. There is a theory. I find it to be a credible theory. I do not know if it is a true theory. The theory goes something like this. The Strait of Hormuz is incredibly important to everybody but the United States. And indirectly to us because oil flowing through there affects global oil prices because if supply is reduced because Iran's not able to, you get how that would work. But it's not really our oil, it's more the Europe's oil. And so there's a theory that is we could reopen the Strait of Hormuz if we wanted to. Trump is allowing it not to be reopened in order to create leverage and interest and investment so that the Europeans, who we've basically been doing their dirty work for a long time and are certainly doing it now, contrary to their help, without their help, contrary to their will in some ways, this is a way of getting them to realize that they need to do some of the lifting too, that they need to be involved, that they need to take that over and that they should have responsibility for it. Also, the theory that, you know, long term, the United States might be able to profit off of this or at least get paid for our efforts. A lot of speculation. Could we open the strait and we're not doing it for political or other reasons, economic reasons? I don't have an answer. I'm just telling you that's one speculation that I find at least somewhat credible, plausible. We'll see. The other thing, of course, the big news over the weekend was this rescue. Holy smokes. The way it's being described is, I think, only a real part of the story. And I've tried to cobble together some various sources on this, and I've tried to do what I think is the most reliable. Like, you know, who can I really trust to get this right, and who is, yeah, maybe that's right, so forth. But when the F-15E was shot down, probably by a, you know, basically a shoulder-fired manpad, which is a Russian or Chinese now, all of a sudden, Chinese.
I think it's Chinese.
Russian-supplied Verba shoulder-fired manpad. So that's one possibility. The Russian-made S-300, that's the one that we think shot down that Ukrainian airliner years ago. I think that's the Buk system. There's an Iran's version of Bavar 373, which is another one. None of this really matters. I'm just telling you, we're not quite sure, okay? But it was shot down doing a mission, doing what it does over Iran. The pilot was quickly recovered. Not that that was without, you know, effort, but that did not involve a lot of difficulty that managed to happen or done efficiently. So that was good. They didn't want to say they got the pilot because then that would allow for the knowledge that we didn't have the backseat or the WIZO, the weapon systems officer. If you think it's an F-15 platform, but, you know, think about in Top Gun, Goose is the backseater. Okay. So the WIZO, the colonel, we didn't want to acknowledge that he was still out there. So we didn't say anything. Then when we did figure out that he was still out there for sure and we're still trying to figure out where he is, then the CIA puts out this false narrative that we are working on. We've got him and we're working on a ground extraction so that they would be looking in the wrong place or looking for the wrong kind of thing. Meanwhile, we have sent in two C-130s. That's a Fat Albert type plane. Okay. Two C-130s filled with special operators, apparently. And a lot of this is sort of like, we know this part, we don't know that part, but I'm telling you what I think is mostly true. So some of this might change. The president may tell you different things this afternoon at 1 o'clock or noon our time. We might learn other things subsequently, but I'm trying to tell you what I think is the best overall picture of how this all went down. So the C-130s go in, they've got, you know, what you would think of as like commandos basically, because, you know, ground troops to help with the extraction. Those planes get stuck in the mud. Two C-130s get stuck in the mud, can't get them out. It's a heavy plane. Didn't count on that. Those planes cannot be recovered, so we send three more C-130s in, presumably a slightly different location. Then we bomb the first two C-130s, blow them up so that the enemy doesn't take control of them, doesn't gain them. kind of like some people would say should have been done in Afghanistan more. But, you know, that's normal. If, you know, we bombed the second stealth helicopter that we took in and got Osama bin Laden with, right? Like, that's what you do. You don't want them to get the equipment. You certainly don't want them to get the technology. You've seen enough movies to get this concept, right? So we blow up two C-130s. That's no small thing. But what's the alternative? So then, and these three other C-130s are in there to bring everybody back out. Then there's a huge firefight on the ground against apparently either locals or the IRGC or both. Somehow or other, they send in some IRGC to the location where he is, where he's climbed up like 7,000 feet and he's hiding in the mountain crevice. And he's trying to get a hold of us. And he's gotten a hold of us. And, you know, they manage to get killed. Some of them get killed, which I think is an amazing thing, because here we are sending all of these assets into Iran, into foreign territory. Nobody gets killed. They can't even get their own people into their own territory without getting them killed. So that's a pretty amazing contrast. Then there's the A-10. There's a, you know, that same kind of that plane that we're using over the Strait of Hormuz to shoot boats because it's a tank killer. That plane gets shot, but it survives because it's a very survivable platform. That pilot manages to fly over Kuwaiti airspace and then ditch that plane in the water, and he gets rescued. I think that's a Navy rescue. I think that's a water rescue. That means rescue swimmers who would have trained here, you know, were involved in that, I think. Okay, again, I'm speculating, but I think that's true. So that's one that's gone. Then, so that's three so far. The A-10 gets destroyed or ditched. The two C-130s get bombed by us. They claim to do it, and it's not what happened. Then we've got a couple of Blackhawks at least that are involved in this. One of them gets the colonel and then gets shot, and people on board get wounded. Another one takes fire as well, apparently. It seems like both of those Blackhawks got back safely, but with heavy damage. Again, that's kind of a not sure kind of scenario. And in the end, we rescue the colonel, the Wizzo. We rescue the pilot, the front seater. He does an amazing job of, you know, survival, evasion, resistance, escape, SEER training. It comes into play. And they had put out a bounty on his head in Iran. They had newscasters going on the air saying $60,000 for anybody who captures him. Like, imagine somebody on the news saying, you know, capture the Russian downed pilot or whatever. But that's what they were doing. But some people may have been collaborating with him, because not everybody is on board with what their leadership in Iran is doing. And I read at least one report. I do not put a lot of faith in this, but I think it may turn out to be true, that not only did they help him, but at least 20 people in that village have been arrested subsequently, and it's probably not going to be good for them if that's true. So we finally get him back. Everybody's back, and in the process, what we lost was two C-130s and an A-10, maybe one Black Hawk, maybe some damage, maybe some other wounded, a pretty hefty firefight, and everybody's alive. That's amazing. That's some movie stuff. You know, it's 100% going to be a movie at some point in the future. One other note, I just want to mention this, is I think a lot of times we forget what a key role NAS Pensacola and NAS Whiting Field play in, of course, Herbal as well. Not AC-130s, not gunships, although they may have been involved, we don't know. And we don't know who was from, like, maybe it was AFSOC involved in this, we don't know. A lot of this we may never know. But one of the things about NAS Pensacola is we train backseaters. We train for the Navy. You know, VT-86, Saberhawks, part of Training Air Wing 6, they train the people who the goose, you know, the backseaters, the naval flight officers, they're called. But also there is a mission at NAS Pensacola that you may or may not know about for the Air Force, 479th Flying Training Group. They also train backseaters for the Air Force. They train CISOs, combat systems officers, some of whom are also weapon systems officers. There can be other things that a CISO does. So that program hasn't been there that long, given that this is a colonel. There once was a time when actually VT-86 trained the Wizzos for the Air Force, the F-15 pilot, the backseater. There was a time when they were at, was it Reynolds, I think, Air Force Base? Is that the other one that I mentioned earlier? Anyway, there was that training mission has kind of been in some different places. So we don't know if he trained here or not, but it's a good chance that he did. In any case, many other of the backseaters would have trained here, even for the Air Force, a training mission that a lot of people don't really know about. That's why we highlighted it in our Tenant Command series. So my point is, whether it's the Artemis II and training at NAS Pensacola, or Artemis II Commander, who trained at Whiting Field, at least for his fixed wing, or it's backseat trainers, or it's rescue swimmers, or it's, you know, people who fly for the Marines, the helicopters. Like, this area has a major touch for all these different elements of what is a massive military operation right now. And I'm just trying to help you to be proud of that, help you to be aware of that, and help you to understand that if there's warfare, it's not just the vague general we are involved because it's our country, but it's the very specific. The people who live here would have done that in the past, and the people who do live here or are stationed here are doing that right now in a lot of cases. 725 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. But remember that Main from Barrancas to I Street is closed today for the next 6 weeks for construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by anxiety? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you ever notice the three levels in that verse? Thoughts, emotions, and behavior? The verse is saying that our thinking will impact our emotions or heart, and then our behavior when it says, "So is he." Our anxiety problems start with what we think about and then impact our emotions and then ultimately determine our behavior. I encourage you to discipline your mind to stop thinking about things that are untrue, unjust, and impure, and start thinking about things that are true and just and pure. You'll find that much of your anxiety will be gone and your emotions will be healthy, and then your behavior will be Christ-like.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, if you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits or get to deal with benefits, you know, it may not seem that way sometimes, but it is something you're doing for your employees, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, managing payroll. These are not necessarily things you got into business to do. You probably got into business because you like the law, or you like being a doctor, or you like fixing cars, or, you know, fixing plumbing, whatever the case may be. But along the way, you grow and you have employees, you have to deal with this stuff. Well, if it's going great, great. If it's not going great, or if you wonder whether it could be even better, Torgerson Consulting. They've been working for 20-plus years here in the local area helping business owners just like you do the stuff you don't want to do, just like you help other people do the stuff they don't want to do. They like doing accounting. You know, they like doing health insurance and all that kind of stuff. And they've been doing it for us here at News Radio and Cat Country for 5 years. Very, very, very well. Better plans, better choices, and certainly better customer service than we ever had before. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And somebody did say it's Randolph Air Force Base is where they would have got their SEER training. Search, evade, resist. No, it's not. I always get it wrong and escape. I know. Sorry. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, Iran says it will not reopen the Strait of Hormuz in exchange for a temporary ceasefire. An Iranian official says Iran is reviewing a plan that was sent over by Pakistani mediators before the Tuesday deadline, when the president has promised to start destroying key Iranian energy infrastructure. Speaking of President Trump, they'll be hosting the annual White House Easter egg roll apparently today. That tradition began in 1878.
I think they're still using eggs from 1878.
Possibly, yeah.
That's one of the, you know, there's a lot of weird traditions in this country, and that is definitely one of the weird ones, is go take your spoon to the White House and roll Easter eggs. I mean, cool?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump will be joined by his top military officials.
President has received so much interest, so many questions regarding this mission that he's actually holding the press conference scheduled for 1 p.m. today in the briefing room. He's expected to get into the details of the decision-making behind this and where the conflict stands today.
Fox's Alexander Hoff at the White House, a top official taken out.
Majid Kadimi, the head of IRGC intelligence, I am told by a senior Israeli official, was killed early this morning in a strike against the Iranian capital. He was also behind the intelligence for the attacks against U.S. forces and allies across the region.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv, less than 48 hours till the next deadline for Iran to get to the peace table or else. That from President Trump. But no, but there's word today of a three-nation plan for a 45-day ceasefire and reopening the Strait of Hormuz. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 57 degrees with cloudy skies right now. And of course, our full forecast with Brooke Richardson is on the way in just a few minutes. A Flemington woman facing a domestic violence charge after a man was stabbed in a disturbance on Saturday. Police say they responded to a residence on Lender Street about 12:45 that morning, where they found the victim with a stab wound. He was taken to a hospital. 32-year-old Cicely Odom was booked into the Escambia County, Alabama Detention Center. The victim's condition was not available. Northbound lane closure on Pensacola Beach Boulevard has been extended as crews there continue working to install a new toll gantry at the Pensacola Beach entrance. The inside northbound lane exiting the beach will remain closed from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays through April 10th. Southbound traffic entering the beach is not affected. And the project will replace the existing toll plaza with a new toll-by-plate system featuring CCTV cameras and fiber optic communications. The gantry is designed to reduce congestion and improve emergency vehicle access. Santa Rosa County deputy that just retired this week was honored last Thursday for saving a man's life on the Blackwater River, and that happened last month. Sheriff Johnson presented Deputy Philip Smith with a life-saving award for his actions on March 15th. It happened when Smith was off duty. He was with his wife Felicia on the Blackwater River when they witnessed a family friend get ejected from a boat after hitting a wake. The boat struck the man multiple times with its propeller before the Smiths pulled the man from the water. Felicia Smith is a former medical assistant. She used towels to control his bleeding while the deputy was able to swim to that runaway boat and shut off the engine. The victim sustained injuries, including propeller wounds and cracked his sternum. He is urging fellow boaters to make sure they're always wearing their kill switch and life jacket when they are on the water. A family of six has been displaced after a fire in Okaloosa County. That happened on Saturday in Fort Walton Beach. Ashley Strickland and her five children were luckily not home at the time, so nobody was hurt, but the home was destroyed. They are being assisted by the Red Cross. And Senator Rick Scott is, in his words, overjoyed that the American pilot was rescued in Iran over the weekend. President Trump, of course, announcing that successful rescue. Yesterday, he described the man as a highly respected colonel. Senator Scott said the prayers of countless Americans were answered with his rescue and says he's grateful for the daring and decisive work of the search and rescue operation. The president says he'll have a news conference today at 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock our time. It is 12:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Going to be looking at temperatures warming up today around 68 degrees with some breezy conditions. Mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54. As you go into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 76. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 59 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 75. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
7:35, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident that happened on East Burgess and Old Palafox. It's off to the side of the road, but there still is debris in the road, and that's causing some delays, so be aware of that. Other than that, let's see here. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola. Expect about a seven-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Universal Pictures and Nintendo's The Super Mario Galaxy Movie posted the biggest opening this year yet. The film made roughly $372.5 million in worldwide box office sales. Comscore data says that the total domestic box office in 2026 is up 26% from a year earlier. While a relatively good problem to have, a large 401k balance can present certain challenges for the unwary. Financial planners say savers risk becoming retirement rich but cash poor while they are still working. In retirement, big balances can trigger significant required withdrawals. Oil prices are lower this morning after President Trump gave Iran until tomorrow evening to open the Strait of Hormuz or, quote, face hell. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at 110 per barrel, Brent hovering at 108 per barrel. Futures are mixed as Iran and the U.S. try for a ceasefire. Reminder, markets were closed on Friday in honor of the holiday. On Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 61. That's Your Money Now.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
The day began with live special coverage of the UWF press conference.
Today marks an important milestone for the University of West Florida and Argonaut Athletics.
Then, President Trump's speech.
My fellow Americans, good evening.
Followed by the launch of Artemis II.
And liftoff. The crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
News can happen anytime, and we're there to cover it. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
So I want to share something with you because I thought that it was quite powerful. Yesterday, you may have seen the news. It's kind of been on TV all this morning as well. Savannah Guthrie, of course, the NBC anchor, host, reporter, however you want to describe her, longtime serving, has had all the incident, you know, with her mother. It's been incredibly widely reported. But it was Easter yesterday, and she recorded almost it's a homily, okay, for her church in New York. And I'm going to play it in its entirety because I could cut it up into pieces and then talk, but I think it's more useful for you to just hear it. It's well worth the listen. It is about 7 minutes long, but it is absolutely worth hearing, because in it she talks about being disappointed with God at Easter and what Easter has meant for her and her family in her faith. I believe, I'm not sure if she's Catholic or if she's Protestant. Frankly, I'm sorry. I tried to figure it out and I wasn't sure. It doesn't matter for this particular message. Both lead to the same result in this particular case. So here is Savannah Guthrie's Easter message to her church in its entirety.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. And Easter is happy. It is flowers and pastels and baby bunnies. It is sunshine and joy and hope. It is rebirth and second chances and new life and fresh starts. It is the most important day of the year for all of us who believe, even more than Christ's birth, more than his death, his resurrection, his second birth into a permanent life. That is what is most crucial to us. His revival and resurrection mean the same for us. We celebrate today the promise of a new life that never ends in death. But standing here today, I have to tell you, there are moments in which that promise seems irretrievably far away, when life itself seems far harder than death. These moments of deep disappointment with God, the feeling of utter abandonment. For most of us, there will come a time in our life when these feelings hold sway. In our tradition, we are taught to take comfort in the fact that our friend, Jesus, in his short life, experienced every single emotion that we humans can feel. That his taking on the form of humanity made him not a distant observer to our pain, but a hands-on experiencer of it. Recently, though, in my own season of trial, I have wondered. I have questioned whether Jesus really ever experienced this particular wound that I feel, this grievous and uniquely cruel injury of not knowing, of uncertainty and confusion, and answers withheld. In those darkest moments, I have thought, bitterly and perhaps irreverently, that I have stumbled upon a feeling that Jesus did not know. After all, don't the gospel stories recount Jesus informing his disciples of his destiny, that he had been sent to die to ultimately be raised up? They didn't get it, but he did. He at least knew his fate. And yes, it grieved him deeply, to the point of shedding tears of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. But still, he knew the ending. He knew the plan. There would be suffering, but then resurrection. And so I thought, he never suffered this excruciating not knowing. It isn't wrong to think such thoughts, to challenge our God with questions. God does not ask us to be stoics with standards of pain with zen-like remove or shallow sloganeering about the hard battle God gives to his toughest soldiers. Our questions to God, our wrestling with God, this is his opportunity. For through our authenticity and vulnerability comes a portal of revelation, the imparting of truth and wisdom. And so it went for me, this portal opening as I stared at yet another incongruently luminous desert sunset amidst my spirit's utter darkness. Suddenly, I remembered the grave. I remembered 3 days in the grave. No one talks much about that. We focus mostly on Easter. Of course we do. We cut to the happy ending and the joy of Sunday morning. And yes, we do observe the Friday before, the agony of crucifixion. We mourn by candlelight that darkest night. But after Jesus died, after he breathed his last, what did he actually know? On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the anguished cry of someone who does not know the answers. Where did his soul and his spirit go in those days in between? And what was he thinking? Did he think his time in the grave would be a day or two or 1,000 years? In the grave, does his agony seem indefinite to him? That torment of uncertainty, the way indefinite pain can feel eternal? Perhaps he did know this feeling after all. As humans living on this earth now, we are all suspended in that moment of uncertainty. Not 3 days, but thousands of years between his cross and our resurrection with him. Our faith gives us a spiritual conviction that we will be reborn, that God will redeem this pain, that every tear will be wiped away, that our Easter is coming. But we live viscerally in the meantime. The mean time of feeling unsure, lost, abandoned, disappointed, enraged, forgotten. Our comfort is that our God has felt those feelings from a perspective of humanity, that he has compassion on us, and that he promises, if not immediate answers, his sweet presence. He promises closeness to the brokenhearted. Somehow, miraculously, his loving and gentle presence that makes the mean time less mean. Perhaps this is too dark a message to share on Easter morning. But I have long believed that we miss out on fully celebrating resurrection if we do not acknowledge the feelings of loss, pain, and yes, death. It is the darkness that makes this morning's light so magnificent, so blindingly beautiful. It is all the brighter because it is so desperately needed. So I close my eyes this morning and I feel the sunshine. I see a bright vision of the day when heaven and earth pass away because they are one on earth as it is in heaven. When we celebrate today, this is what we celebrate. And I celebrate too. I still believe. And so I say with conviction, Happy Easter.
Man.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
Now you know why I wanted to play it just as is? Because I thought about, do I play it in pieces or do I talk about it? Oh, man. No. Questioning God, challenging God, being angry at God, recognizing the solidarity with the pain and suffering that Jesus experienced in all the different ways. Jesus cried, Jesus was raged, Jesus was kind and sweet. And, you know, and at Easter, at Christmas, at birthdays, we're dealing with people who are in all kinds of different ways. I love it. That's why I wanted you to hear it. This has been kind of in all the news sites, been talking about her comments about, being disappointed in God. Well, you're not supposed to be disappointed with God. What? Oh, so you're a liar. We are all disappointed in God at times. You can't have a relationship with him if you're not honest about it. You talk your way through it. You pray your way through it. Oh, by the way, Good Shepherd in New York is, I believe it's a non-denominational evangelical church. I did look and find out. I think that's the one. There's a bunch of them, but I think that's the one. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right, still dealing with the accident that happened on Burgess Road and Old Palafox Highway. Again, it's off to the side of the road. They're trying to get the debris out of the middle of the road. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. And let's see, not seeing anything else to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Man, you know, can I say this on a different subject? I love reporting military things. I hate how hard it is for me to get it right. I feel like I had to edit the post about the Artemis commanding officer like 4 times. I got yelled at by members of the military for getting this and this. I'm sorry. I do try. In this case, we're trying to include some of the different places where the unnamed colonel, who's the WISO for the F-15, would have trained. And I just mixed up 2 locations. The WISO training was at Randolph. The SEER training was at Fairchild Air Force Base in Spokane. So sorry, I am trying really, really hard. And I apologize for making the mistake. Somebody just texted in, thank you for sharing that audio. Absolutely. I heard it. It's kind of funny because I'm the kind of person that's like, if it's a 2-minute video, I'm like, all right, cool. And if it's a 7-minute video, I'm, and this was one of those, like, it's a 50-minute video and she's at Mark 40, whatever. And I'm watching it and I'm just recording it and I'm thinking, this is really good. This is really long. This is really long. Ah, it's really good. We're just going to play it. It's worth it. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the things I sometimes ask folks is, maybe it's a little bit rude, but do you love your car? And I know what the answer is. The answer is either, yeah, cool, then you don't need a new one, right? I mean, okay, cool. Or the answer is, well... Sometimes the answer is no. Okay, if it's no or well, then go get a car you love. I mean, you deserve to have a car you love. Now, you deserve it if you can afford it. But the point is, you're going to spend a lot of time in your car listening to me, driving around, you know, being annoyed at other people, stuck in traffic or not. But the point is, you spend a lot of time in your car. And by the way, you spend most of your time not looking at the outside. I mean, think about the things that people think about with the car. Looking at the outside, you know, do I like that color? 99% of your time with your car is not seeing the outside color. It's the inside. So how it drives, how it feels, how it sounds, all that stuff matters. So go to Frontier, drive a bunch of different cars, 5 or 6 different ones, different brands, different makes, different trim levels. Okay. And then you maybe drive something that's not even in your, like, what you're looking for. That's okay. You might find you love something. You might find you don't love it. The point is, experiment, learn, and then make an intelligent decision based on the information that you've got. If that's a buy now, great. If that's a buy later, great. If that's a, hey, you don't have exactly what I want, go looking for me. Frontier does that for people all the time. Easy. They're at car buying places, you know, a couple times a week, plus they're buying cars that people bring in to sell them all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, I'm just trying to be honest about being a misanthrope.
So you're not going to go to law school? What do you want to do then?
I want to dance.
1, 2, 3.
Too, and clap and sing. I don't know why you're not clapping, John. It worries me a little bit. You should be clapping along. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. All right, this is going to be the one and only time today that I'm going to talk about this. That was the worst NCAA Final Four I have ever seen in my entire life.
You notice I haven't mentioned
it. You haven't brought it up. Good for you.
Yeah.
And not just because my team lost, Illinois lost to UConn, but because the game was so bad. You know, we were ahead for 3 minutes in the first half and, you know, within four for like 13 seconds. It's, you know, you're watching your team all year and then all of a sudden, or not watch them all year, it's I knew they were good. I didn't watch them all year. But then watch them play and play and be great. And then all of a sudden, like, they forgot how to shoot the ball or they didn't get the rolls or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, UConn won. They definitely deserved to win. No doubt. No argument here. But, you know, it's like watching the Cardinals play the 0-4 World Series against the Red Sox. Like, where's my team? What happened here? Do you guys forget what baseball is? And then the other one, the Michigan-Arizona game. So boring. God, Michigan was up by 143, and then they were up by 120, and then they were up by 500 points. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever. It was so boring. I hope the game tonight is good. I would think the game tonight is going to be good. But, you know, time will tell. Sometimes they pan out. Sometimes they don't. Who you got tonight, John? You got UConn or Michigan?
I got Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's going to – I think Michigan is going to just destroy UConn, which kind of makes me – maybe I'm happy that we didn't get destroyed by Michigan in the finals.
Destroyed by somebody else.
I know, because all of my people from Michigan, where I'm from originally, would be like, Andrew, you know, okay. Let's see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
All right, let's see here. Okay, working. Okay, East Burgess Road, Old Palafox Highway. That is off to the side of the road, and I'm still seeing some minor delays associated with that one. And let's see if this computer decides to work. Okay, so it's not going to. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Yeah,
I can look at the big board,
too.
This
thing is lovely.
Did you mention Main Street?
Not yet.
Okay.
Main Street from Barrancas to I Street is closed today for 6 weeks for the construction project.
Can I get a yay?
Yay. Yeah.
And Barrancas is down to 2 lanes from 4. I mean, it's going to be a mess. And I mean, Main Street is, even when they reopen it in 6 weeks, going west, you won't be able to turn left onto Barrancas. So,
you know, days. I love using Windows 95, so it works good.
On my day, we used to live in a shoebox in a hole in the road. You had it easy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Sorry, I had channel Monty Python every once in a while. Go ahead, David.
Well, good morning. The Artemis II crew will fly near the moon today. NASA says that flyby officially gets underway at about 2:45 Eastern. It should last several hours. The four astronauts will be taking pictures and making scientific observations. They'll be within 4,000 miles of the surface at their closest approach. An American woman is missing after reportedly falling overboard during a boat trip in the Bahamas on Saturday. Her husband said he had paddled for hours to shore. Apparently, the engine quit running, and she fell in the water and got swept out by a current. A search is currently underway there. And Georgia voters pick a replacement tomorrow for the congressional seat vacated by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Race in the state's 14th congressional district is a runoff between Democrat Sean Harris and Republican Clay Fuller, a former district attorney.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John, do you remember when your kids were really young, like a year old, maybe 2 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Remember they were running around and getting out of your control and driving you crazy and all the fun times that was? Did you ever have a kid have a meltdown and you just couldn't get them to stop having a tantrum?
No.
You didn't have that?
No.
How many you got, too? Oh,
yeah. I got them under control.
It's not so easy.
I know, but I'm just saying, I never had that issue.
All right, so
maybe you did.
There's a. I hate to give credit to a TikTok thing, but there's a TikTok thing where parents have discovered that if they yell a name while the kid's having a meltdown and pretend that that person is like on the phone or outside the door or around the corner, that this gets them to snap out of it, so to speak.
Jessica, come here. Come here, Jessica.
So the kid's having a meltdown.
He's crying. Come here.
And he turns to Jessica, come here. And the kid's like, who's Jessica?
Are you going to stop crying because Jessica's coming?
Where's it? What are you talking about?
You want Jessica to come?
Yeah.
I always said my dad was coming.
That'll work.
I always said my dad's right there.
A total stranger, though, is a different word. Here's another one.
Jessica? Jessica? Are you there? Jessica, are you here?
The kid's just, what's happening now? I'm looking over there.
Jessica?
Looking at where you're looking at.
It's like a dog. It's like training a dog. Like they're barking and you divert their attention.
Yeah. And when I used to do martial arts, my sensei used to always, like, if you've got somebody in a wristband but they're resisting, you just go to their face and then they freak out and they relax and you can actually put them under submission. It's distraction. It's distraction 101. You know, stop that. Doesn't work real well, but, oh, hey, what is it? And then they're following you, whatever you're looking. It doesn't have to be Jessica, although that's the popular one. you know, it's not a magic word. It's a psychological strategy for distracting the kid and pretending like, because if you do Jessica a couple of times, then they're going to figure out there's no Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not exactly a long-term strategy, but it is an interesting one.
That's why I use my dad.
Oh, because he's always.
Oh, yeah. He would always be
just around
the corner.
Yep. Okay. All right. There you go. So a little bit of parenting advice from the world of TikTok. Hey, look, 1 out of 1,000 times it's useful.